Begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basra, daf Nun Beis. Begin on the bottom of daf Nun Aleph Nun Beis, five lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf. And that is one of the cases we mentioned on the previous daf from our previous Mishnah regarding those individuals that cannot establish a chazakah is a wife in her husband's properties, where we say that although you've been eating from this field for 3 years without any machah from your husband is because he allows you. That doesn't establish a chazakah. So too, our Gemara continues with the Braisa. It talks about different individuals that we assume, and we definitely have to be concerned, that what they have is not really their own, but rather from their husband, their father, and so on. So turn upon the Braisa. A makablin pikdainis. A person should not receive a deposit. Lemin anashim, not from wives. Belemin avadim, not from slaves. Belemin atinaikis, and not from little children. And the reason for that is because we have to suspect that they stole it from their husband, their father, their masters. And same thing is by children, that maybe they stole it from the house where they're staying. And the reason why you cannot take a deposit is because then you're becoming an accomplice in the crime, the sin. And if you're not going to take it from them, they're not going to have where to put this thing that they stole. They're going to ultimately put it back from the house, from the person that they stole it from. Therefore, one should not receive deposits from these individuals. Now, kibul min isha. Let's say you did take the deposit from the woman. What do you do with it now? So then, yachzal isha, ultimately, you will return it to the woman and not to her husband, because we don't have to presume that she stole. We have to be suspect and not take it. But once we did, we give it back to her. Now, v'emesa, if she passes away, what do you do with it then? Yachzal abayla, then you return it to her husband. And the reason for that is because even if it really was her own money, where although generally kamash akana isha kana baila, whatever woman acquires is really owned by her husband, but it's possible that money could be given specifically an earmark just for her that her husband has no right to, it still goes to the husband. Because since when she passes away, the husband inherits her, because the husband inherits everything that his wife has when she dies, and therefore either way it's going to go back to the husband, because either way, either originally was his, or even now it becomes his after his wife passes away. Now, kibum in the evid, let's say, although you shouldn't, but you did take a deposit from a slave, so then again, there was a yaksal evid, you'll return it to the slave. We're not to presume that it was stolen. But if he passes away, yaksal rabba, then you give it back to his master, because again, generally, we assume by an evid too, that whatever really he had, is kamash kana evid, is kana rabba, was really owned by his master. Now, the Rashbam says that it seems to him that the same thing would apply even if the Eved was first freed and only then died. You would still give it back to the master, because ultimately, when he gave this deposit to this person, he was a slave, and generally we assume that slaves are gazlan. In contrast to a woman, if she was first divorced and then she passed away, then her husband doesn't inherit her because she was divorced when she died, then you're going to give it to her inheritors and not to her husband, because since she died when she was divorced, the husband has no rights to that. Now, Gedir on top of Nunbezim and Aleph, now regarding the third case, kibul min hakatan, if the person received the deposit from a minor, then you do not give it back to the minor, because the minor doesn't know how to safeguard this thing that he had deposited with you. And if you're going to give it to him, he's just going to throw it out and going to ruin it, and there's no point in that. Rather, yasle segula. What you do for the child is you make for him a treasure box, meaning you make for him something that's a storage until he becomes an adult, and then you give it back to him. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain what's this segula, what's this treasure that you make for him that you're not giving it back to him, but that it's going to be there for him when he becomes an adult. Now, if let's say the minor who gave him the deposit passes away, then then you give it back to his inheritors. Now, says the Braisa Bakula, now regarding all these individuals, the woman, the slave, and the minor, Sha'amr, if they say, and this would apply even to the case of the minor, if they say b'shas misasin when they're passing away, which Rashbam points out, it doesn't have to be only when they're passing away. But the only reason why I picked it then is because if they were healthy, then if they wanted to give it back to whoever they claim it is, they would just take it from the one who they deposited with and give it back to the one who they claim it is, and they wouldn't have to say the reason what they're saying. It's only when someone's passing away, then they say, oh, I'm about to pass away, oh. So they say, shall play in the hand. This that I gave to you as a deposit, it's really that person's. Please give it to him because this is my last few moments here on plan. I'm not going to be able to do it myself. Then says the Braisa, so you ask to keep Yerusha, and then you do like they specified. The one who had the deposit gives it to this person that he said it's really theirs. Now, Vimlav, but if not, then Yasa Pirush Lepirushin. Then you give an explanation to their explanation. So what that means to say is that if the one who's holding on to the deposit does not believe that person who's passing away, whether the slave, the woman, or the minor, that this deposit really belongs to that person. It actually belongs to their husband/father/boss. And it's just that when this person is passing away, they're too embarrassed to admit that they were thieves. So then what you do is, you actually, the one who has the deposit gives a different pirush to their pirush. Meaning when it says pirush lipirushan, meaning although they gave a pirush, they specified what it is, you give your own pirush. In other words, that you give it back to the master/father/husband of these individuals and not to the person that they specified. And the Rashbam says this interpretation would seem more likely, as the Gemara is going to bring right after this, the story with the wife of Rabbi Chana, which was clearly about this concept, where if we trust them or not, if they're lying or not. Because Rashbam brings that there are those who explain that what it means to say vim lav, and if not, yasa pirush lepirushin, means that if they don't specify when they're passing away, so then you make your own pirush for what they themselves should have explained. And that means to say that you give it back to their master/husband/father, which Rashbam doesn't like, because then that's essentially the same thing that the Braisa said in the Reisha. It said that if they die, you give it back lebalehen, and or if the slave dies and you give it back to his master, which was told about if they die without specifying who to give it to, and that's the same idea of Yachz Labailam, so why would I have to repeat it two times? Rather, he says, it's like he says, that it means that even if they did specify, but if it's lav, if it doesn't seem like what they're saying is truthfully, they just don't want to admit that they stole it from their father or husband or the like, then you realize that truth and you give it back to who you know that they really stole it from. Now, the Gemara brings an incident relating to this halacha, like we mentioned, that the base of the Rabbi Baba Chana, the wife of Rabbi Baba Chana, Kikashachva, when she was passing away, Amr, she said, Hani Kipi, these earrings, the Marta, they belong to this, the name of the sage Marta, who was the brother of Rabbi Chia, Ubnei Brata, and the sons of his daughter. That's who these earrings belong to. Now, Azlaka made the Rav. So Rabbi Chana came in front of Rav and asked him, what's the halacha? Here, my wife, I always thought this was my wife's earrings, and she passing away, and she says that this belongs to these people, that I'm not going to inherit it from her. So Malisa Rav said to him, look, imehem nalach, if she's trustworthy to you, meaning that you know that she didn't steal anything from you, so also kibirusha, then do like she specified and give it to this Marta and to his grandchildren. Now, vilai, but if not, you assume that she stole from you. So then, like we said in the Braisa, asay pirush lepirusha, then go ahead and make your own interpretation for our interpretation and keep it for yourself, because although she's embarrassed to admit that she stole it from you, but you know that it's really from you, and therefore then you can keep it. Ve'ikadami, that those who said that hachay amalei, actually what Rav told them was, not the words imehem nalach, but iamidalach. If these individuals that your wife is saying as she's passing away that it's theirs, if they're wealthy, and it makes sense that they had given your wife a deposit of earrings or other wealthy objects, then asiki perusha, then do like what she said and give it back to them, because it makes sense that these people are wealthy enough to have these types of jewelry. Or a different interpretation, Rashbam says, if your wife could be evaluated as wealthy, in other words, that she has friends that are wealthy friends that would give her objects of money, and they would give her gifts that you shouldn't have any rights to, because although generally kamasha kana isha kana baila, but it could be given to her specifically that her husband should not have, and therefore this gift that she's giving to her relatives is from her own, then also do as she said, because you could trust, and it makes sense that she's wealthy enough that it was hers, and she could give it to whoever she wants to, and it wasn't from you that she stole the money. But vilai, but if not, asay pirush lepirusha, then you go ahead, do your own interpretation, and realize that it's really from you, and then you can keep it for yourself. Now the Braisa said, as we alluded to before, that min ha-katan, if he took the deposit from the minor, what does he do with it then? He does not give it back to the minor. By the slave, you give it back to the slave. By the woman, you give it back to her. But by the minor, you don't give it back to him. Rather, you ask the school, you make from a treasure. Ask the Gemara, my school, what does that mean? So Rav Chizdami says, it's safe at Torah. It means a Torah scroll to learn from, where you have both. You have utility from it, you have payers, you have a product from it, you get to use it, and also the Karen, the principle of the deposit that he gave you, that money will stay forever because the Sefer Torah is extant. Rabbi Ravunam, he gives a different interpretation, says, Dikl da'achul minay. You buy with it a palm tree that the miner could eat from it, tamre, that it could eat dates from it. So there also you have payers, and also the Karen, the principle will be maintained. In contrast to like a business deal, investing in stocks, that maybe something might happen, you might lose all of that, then that's not something you could do, because you could get him something that will have a product, but it has to maintain that what he deposited, but you should maintain till he becomes an adult, and then you give it back to him. Now the Mishnah continues the halacha that we said about certain individuals that do not have a chazakah, although they did the activity of a chazakah, but the halacha they don't get. Neither a father who, although he's been in his son's property for more than 3 years and taking all the produce, that does not establish a chazakah. And so neither a son in his father's assets. Now, Amar Rav Yisrael, he clarifies this halacha. He says, this is even if they separated one from the other. Meaning the son moved out of the house, and he doesn't eat by his father's house anymore, and he has nothing really to do, he's not involved in the day-to-day operations with his father's business. Even so, if he's in one of those fields and he's been there for more than 3 years, he does not establish a chazakah, because a father and son, they're not particular one or the other. Okay, my son wants to eat from this field, he has nothing to do with this. Still, he lets him, and the fact that he's not meicha does not prove anything, because that's the relationship between the father and the son. Now, Rav Amar, he disagrees, and he says, no, chalku loy. In other words, if they did separate, then that our Mishnah was not talking about. Rather, since they did separate, then they would establish a chazakah one on the other. If either one of them, father or son, would now be eating the produce of the other one's fields for more than 3 years, that would establish a chazakah. And if they claim they bought it, they would be believed. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Difti says that actually, Avad Rav Papi Uf, that's what Rav Papi did, that Chalkulai, he did like this halacha of that this does not apply when they separate, Kurava, in other words, he did like Rava, that when the father and the son had separated ways, that there our Mishnah did not say that in such a case they do not establish a chazakah. Rather, that obviously, as he paskin, that there would be a chazakah in that situation. So to Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says, Ishtoyli Rav Chima Hormiz Ardashid, which is the name of a place, Ishtoyli Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov told him, Mishmeder Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, that again, like Rav Chalkulai, that when they separated, then we didn't say the halacha that there is no chazakah. And the Hilchos says the Gemara Chalkulay Halacha is like that. If they separated, then we didn't say over there that there's no chazakah, meaning that then there would be a chazakah. Tanam Halacha is similar in the Braisa. Ben Shachalik, this case that we're talking about, if the son already separated from his father, he's not anymore part of the household. Over Ishtash Neskarsha, a woman that got divorced, Harein Kishar Kalabna, like any other person, where if they're there on that other person's field for more than 3 years, they establish a chazakah. Now, in the related discussion from the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Itmar, echad min ha'achin, one of the brothers, for example, like generally it's usually the oldest brother, after the father passes away, he was doing all the business dealings, he takes over the operations of the family business, he takes over the whole household, he's doing business dealings in the house. Now, v'hoye einis, there was these sale documents, and Vishtaris, and there were these loan documents that were Yaitzan al Shamay. They had all these documents that were written in his name, meaning that he had purchased these properties and that he had made these loans which were owed to him. Now, and they all had his name on it. V'amar Shalihim, and he says that these are my own investments, and my brothers have no share in this. And the reason why I have all this assets and all this money is shenafuli, because this was money, all this money that I'm lending out and I used to buy properties with, this is money that I had that fell to me, mibes avi ima, from my mother's father, from my maternal grandfather, that's where I had gotten this money from. And this wasn't something that I inherited with these other brothers with me. Now, that's why he used the term avi ima, my mother's father, because if it was his father's father, then everyone would inherit equally, because we're talking about paternal brothers, because that's where the inheritance usually goes with what we're talking about over here. In this case, they would have all inherited together their father's money when he passed away, and then the older brother would not be able to take any more than the other ones. So therefore, then we'd be back to the question, where does this older brother have his own money, which he didn't inherit from, together with the other brothers, must be that it's talking about that they are not maternal brothers, only paternal brothers, and we're talking about the father who passed away. He's saying, I got this from my mother's father, that's where I have all this money from. So regarding such a case, Amar Ravi says, Allah lehevi raya, the onus of the proof is on the older brother to prove that it really was his own money, because although the documents all have his name on it, but that's very simply because since he's the one that took over the operations of the company in the meantime, since his father passed away, so of course it's going to have his name. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, that Rav's talking about where they didn't divide anything yet of the estate, even for the dough that they eat. And since it's not known from any other source that this older brother should have any money besides what we know from the father's property. So we don't say that these documents are his. They must be really the father's property. It just has his name because he's the one that's the chief financial officer right now, chief operating officer right now. And therefore, he cannot go ahead and take out the chazakah of this money that is established that it's the father's unless he brings a proof. Rishmo later on is going to explain what is the proof that he has to bring to show that it really was his own money, that all the documents have his name on it. But that's what Rav holds, that the onus of the proof is on him. Rishmul Amma, he disagrees, says, no, Allah achin lehevi right. Says, actually, the onus of the proof is on the brothers to prove that these documents, although it has his name, really is their father's money, and it just has his name because he's the one that's doing all the business dealings. And Rashbam says, well, although generally we say the halacha is like Shmuel regarding dinei, regarding cheshemishpat, regarding monetary law, here the halacha would be like Rav, because the Gemara brings a brisa later on that says like Rav. And also Rav Chisda, Rav and Rav Sheshes, all obviously all like Rav, because they're all discussing what the ramifications are in Rav's opinion. Now, Amar Shmuel, but Shmuel says, Maidili Abba. Rav, who his name actually was Abba, as the Gemara Masechet Schulin says, his name was Abba Aricha, as it says, who is the head of the, you know, of the yeshivas in Bavel, it says Abba Aricha. As the Gemara Masechet Snida says, that Rav was Orich Bedayre, that was called Abba Aricha. Now, so why was he always called Rav? It's because just like they called Rabbi Huda Hanasi in Eretz Yisrael Rebbe, so to in Bavel they called Abba Rav, the same type of honorific, that he was the leader of the generation. So Shmuel said that Rav agrees to me, although he disagrees with me and he says that it's the oldest brother's own proof, that is to prove that it's his, and not the brother's. But Shmuel says that Rav would agree to me, Shemais, that if this oldest brother dies and he has sons who can inherit him, then Allah achin lehevi rai, then the onus of proof would be on the brothers. Their Rav would agree to me. Now the reason for that is because since orphans are not individuals that could bring in the proof, they don't know how to find merit to prove this idea, because they don't know what the father's financials were. Moreover, the document really proves to us that it really was their father's money, because it says his name on it. So then, it's on those, the brothers who are opposing, who want to say that it's not really his, the onus of the proof is on them. Now, however, when that brother, the oldest brother, is alive, yes, there says Shmuel that Rav disagrees with him and he says that the oldest brother, the onus of the proof is on him, because if it's his, then he could find some way to prove it. He knows enough of how to show the paper trail and show that it's really his own stuff. And if he doesn't find the proof, then fine, Rav holds that it's his loss. But regarding the children, what do you want them to do? It's their father. It says the father's name. They don't know anything about it. So then, says Shmuel, Rav would agree that then Allah achin lehevi raya. Now, but Maskevler Papa asked regarding this that Shmuel said that Moidili Abba, regarding this, Rav would agree. And then Papa asked, why, where does Shmuel see that fit? Klum Tanin Lu Liyasma, he asked, what do you think? We make a claim for the orphans, Mididilay Ton Lu Avuan, something that the father himself would not be able to make a claim? In other words, if the father would be alive, Rav holds, what would we say? That we would assume the chazaka is that it's the brothers, until the older brother himself proves that the documents that have his name on it are his own. So now you're telling me, Shmuel, that Rav would agree that because he died, now the strength of the orphans are better than the father himself, and now that the brothers are going to lose out because now he's dead? Now, Rashbam points out, although that we said on Daf Mem Aleph, that Tanin and Liyarish, we make claims for inheritors. For example, let's say regarding the Cheskes Gimel Shanim, although that their father only lived there one day, and here the son has been living here for more than 3 years afterwards, we say it's going to be a chazakah, even though that for the father, that cheskes gimel shanim wouldn't work for him to say that he bought it, meaning unless if he actually made the claim and says that you sold it to me, you gave it to me with a gift, and yet regarding the son, he doesn't have to say that, meaning for the father, the cheskes gimel shanim would only work if he says with it, a taina, of that, yeah, you sold it to me. But regards to the sons, we said that actually stronger than the father, because they don't have to make that claim. They just have to say, I inherited from my father. So asked Rashbam, so obviously you see that we do make a claim for the orphans, what we don't make for the father. That says Rashbam, no, you can't compare. Because over there, it's also, we're not making a claim for the orphans what more than what the father could have done to acquire it from the one who's contesting him. Rather, it's just like the father could have made that claim and said, I bought it from you. So too, it's going to be a chazakah, which the children, even if they're not claiming anything, because we're saying that the father would have made such a claim and then he would have been believed. But over here, the father himself cannot say to the brothers, you bring a proof, because rather the onus of proof is on him. So how now, when the father passed away, could we say that the orphans can then tell the brothers that the onus of proof is on you, not on us, where even the father himself couldn't do it, which we don't find such a concept. And moreover, Rav Papa concludes his question. He says, because we have by Rava that apik zuga disarbala, that he took away a pair of scissors from those who would comb the garments where they would cut the extra strings hanging off, and there was Vesifra da Agadah, there was a book of Agadic teachings. He took them away miyasmi, from orphans, in other words, the rightful owner who had witnesses who were able to verify that these were originally his pair of scissors in his book, took it away from the orphans, beloy raya, without proof and witnesses to testify that the reason why their father had it, who passed away and now they have it, was because that they had lent it to the father of the orphans, even without any proof. Why is that? Because they're talking about b'dvar ma'asum l'hash l'hashker. They're things which are normally lent and rented out. Now, the significance of that is because if the father would say, when this guy says, okay, give me back my book, give me back my scissors, the guy said, what do you mean? This is mine. What do you think I have it in my possession? He goes, what are you talking about? I lent it to you. If the father would say, no, it's not true, I bought it from you, the onus of the proof would be on the father, because you're not believed to say that you bought it, because these are things that we know it was originally his, and people always lend it out. So too, we find that Rava did the same thing to the orphans, that he took it away from them without proof, because the onus of the proof is on them, that their father bought it from the original owners. Since they didn't have proof, so Rava took it away and gave it back to the original owners, and we do not say, asks Rav Papa, like Shmuel is contending, that since the father died, the onus of the proof is on the original owners to bring a proof. Now the reason for this is to continue on the base, in other words, the basis of why Rava took it away from the orphans is Kedushalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, where he said this concept, which applies both to the father and to the sons, but that's just what Rav Papa is proving, is that we don't differentiate between the orphan, between the children and the father, is that Dvar Masu and Lahash Lahaskar, things that are commonly lent out or rented, but the guy who is holding on to right now says, no, I haven't, because I didn't borrow from you, I bought it from you. He's not believed, again, to say that he bought it until he actually brings proof. So we see, not like Shmuel, says the Gemara Kasha, definitely for us it's difficult. Why did Shmuel say Moidli Abba? Why did he say that Rav would agree in such a case? But it's not the case. Rav who disputes and says, just like the father is not believed, that the onus of proof is on him, so too the orphans are not going to be believed. The onus of proof is on them too, because you cannot claim something for the orphans more than what you would claim for the father. And since the father wouldn't be believed, the onus of proof would be on him, so too the same thing applies by the orphans, like we see by this case by Rava, where just like the father wouldn't be believed to say that he bought it, so too the orphans, the same thing. You don't say and shift the blame then and say that the original owners would have to go ahead and disprove that. Now, Amar Rav Chisda, he clarifies this halacha of Rav that said that it's a love lehibi raya, that it's incumbent upon the older brother, who all the documents are in his name, that he has to prove, however, that it really was his and not the father's assets. So Rav Chisda explains that Loishon, we didn't learn that it's incumbent upon him to bring the proof. Ella de'en chalukin, only if the brothers had not divided anything from the father's asset, even be'isasin, even the dough that they eat, that was never divided. Supper time, everyone just comes to eat, but it was never divided that these are your rations and so on. Because, so in such a situation, we have no reason to believe that it's really the oldest brothers, because we get money from. You don't have any money anywhere, because we didn't split anything from the father's assets. But if they're separate in even just the dough that they eat, then we could say that actually he would scrimp on the dough that he ate, and that's how he became wealthy. Because he took that little dough, he would sell it on the street corner, he got some of his own money that was not his brother's, from that money he went and bought land, and then he had money, and then he would lend other people, and so on and so forth, and that's how he became wealthy. And all these documents, we could then assume that it were his, and that it's not, the onus of proof would not be on him. It's only when they didn't split anything, it's like, okay, gotta be kidding me, where'd you get money from? It must be our father's, and not yours, and then it would be a lovely heavy raya. Now the Gemara asks, so raya b'may. So as the Rashbam explains, that this question is going on Rav, who said that the onus of the proof is on the brother himself. What is, how should he prove that, when he has his name written in the document, how should he prove that really it's all his documents, all his properties? Now the reason why it's going on Rav is, first of all, halachas like him. And Morvis says, Rashbam, if it was going like Shmuel, then how could one of the answers that the Gemara gives from Rav Sheshis to say that he brings the proof by validating the document, But according to Shmuel, to the contrary, it's the brothers after being approved, and they wouldn't say that they have to validate the document. They would have to say actually that they should be invalidating the document. They have to bring a proof to invalidate it. Obviously, it's going in Rav with halachas like him and say like, okay, so how does the older brother prove that these documents are really his, which have his name on it? So Rabba Amay says, Raya be'edim. The proof is with witnesses. In other words, the older brother who has the documents written in his name has to bring proof that that's what's called like the paper trail to show that he had the dough, he scrimped, and he would sell it and show how he got all this money to go ahead and buy these fields and so on, and therefore it makes sense that the documents that all these lands and the loans are owed to him are really his. Or let him bring witnesses to show that he got this huge inheritance from his mother's father. And then we believe that the money of these documents belong to him. Rav Sheshi Zalmei says, Ra'ya b'kim ashtar. He can bring a proof by validating the document. In other words, these documents that have his name on it, if it's written on it that the court gave what's called a hempik, where the courts validate and say that we verify that this is a true and verified document, so then it has halachic status, like it was already investigated to show the truth of this document. And since it's validating the truthfulness of this document, that means everything on this document is true, which includes his name being as the owner of these properties, and it validates that point too, and therefore that can verify that he is the rightful owner of these documents and not just as in place of the father who is the rightful owner of it. Now, Amalei Ravler of Nachman, he says, okay, so what do we do now? Harav, you have the opinion of Rav who says that's a love lehevi raya. The onus of the proof is on the brother himself. Vashmul, then you have also have the opinion of Shmuel who says no, that the onus is on the other brothers. Harabba, Rav Sheshes, and then you also have that you have Rav and Rav Sheshes who dispute in Rav. In other words, if you hold like Rav, so then what's the proof? You could either say like Rabba, who says that you have to bring witnesses, or like Rav Sheshes said that you could be Mekayim the Shtar. So Mar Kaman severely, who do you hold like? You know, first, are you like Rav, like Shmuel? If you hold like Rav, are you like Rabba, or are you like Rav Sheshes? So Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded to Rav, he says, Ano masnit yidana. Well, I know a Braisa. Now, the Braisa says clearly like Rav, but I don't know if it would be like Rabba or like Rav Sheshes, that when he has to bring a Raya, is it with Edim or with being Mekayim the Shtar? It's kind of like learning the Braisa. Echa mina achen shall you neisim and neisim techa bais, the same case that Rav and Shmuel were talking about. If you have one of the brothers, generally the oldest brother, who is doing all the business dealings of the father that passed away in the house, and you had sale documents and loan documents that were written all in his name, this brother. And he says, they're mine. Man, how do I have it? Because I inherited this from my mother's father, all this money. The onus of the proof is on him. We assume that it's really from the father because they didn't split anything yet. And where does he have money from? And he has to prove it that he really inherited this money from his grandfather. And only then would he be allowed to maintain the ownership of these documents. Now, continues the Braisa, v'cheinei isha. Same thing applies to a woman that's a widow. She nices when they send this b'techa bais, that once her husband passed away, she's going ahead and she's, I mean, although that the sons inherit the father. Now the widow, she's taking over the estate of her departed husband. Now, but there's many different documents here, loan documents and sale documents that have her name written on the deed. She says, and they really are mine. I own them. Because I actually inherited from my father's father. Which Rashbam says really could have just said that she inherited from her father. It's only because the Reisha had to say that he inherited from his mother's father. So therefore the Sefer says the same type of second generation of Avi Abba. I inherited from my father's father, or from my mother's father. From one of my grandparents, I inherited. But it's not from your father, who is my late husband's estate. Says the Braisa, Allah lehevi raya, there too, it's incumbent upon her to bring proof where we assume that no, it's very likely it's from her husband and she's just writing her name because she's doing all the business things, but not really hers, it's really the orphan's father's, her late husband's properties. So, ask the Gemara and the Braisa, my v'chein, what is this word when it says, and the same thing applies to the woman, which sounds like that even by the woman, by the widow, the same halacha would apply. Now, what's more of a novelty in the halacha of a woman that it says v'chein? In other words, it should have just said the case of the brother, and then it just said isha shayis in this end of this end. It should have just said starting off woman, because that's normal for a tana to say one case achen and then say case of isha. And sometimes the Gemara explains why you need to have both. But here when it says v'chein, and also sounds like what's called loizu avzu. Not only is it halacha that the onus of the proof is on the brother, but it's even on the wife. What's the even? Says the Gemara, because ma'adetem, what would you think to say? Isha, by a widow, kiven the shvichla milsa, since it's a sign of dignity, of praise, that everyone sees that, wow, look, the courts, they trust her. She becomes the caretaker of the orphans, who really, it's their property that inherit from their father, and people are praising her about that. The Amri, they say, katarcha kameyasmi, wow, look at her, she's a widow, she's taking over the whole family, and she's putting in all this effort for the orphans. Now, therefore, we would think that it would be very difficult for us to say regarding her that she would take their properties and say that it's her own. Because Legaz, let me ask me. Everyone's praising her, and when you get such positive reinforcement, you really start believing it, and she would really say, like, wow, I'm doing such a great mitzvah, and she wouldn't come to steal from orphans. So therefore, maybe we would assume that we should believe her there are documents that have her name, to believe her that it's really hers. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush that no, when sie kommt zu Geld, sie wird eine andere Welt. And that is that even though she feels so proud of herself that she's investing in the children, still we don't presume that it's hers, and we would assume that it's from her late husband's. And therefore, until she proves that it's her own, we assume that it's really from the orphans, even if it's like everyone's praising her for the acts that she's doing, it's very likely that it's not really hers. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that qualified and summed up the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah had said regarding many different individuals, Arisin and Umnin, different cases, a son, a father, and a wife, and a husband, that they cannot establish a chazakah. So said the Mishnah, but Medivamamum, when did we say that all those cases, that they cannot have a chazakah in a field? That's b'machzik. That's regarding with someone who's taking possession of a field. Abanaisin matana, but if let's say someone's giving a gift, or v'achan shachalku, you have brothers that are dividing, b'chula, etc., where the Mishnah says, all those cases, there, these individuals could have a chazakah, even if he's an umman, or he's an oris, etc., etc. Now, the Gemara first asks on the wording of the Mishnah. Atu kalhani darminan, do you think that all those cases that the Mishnah spoke about, when it talks about giving a gift, or brothers that are dividing it, but la b'nei chazakah ninu? What do you mean? How are they getting the field? How are they acquiring all those things? Do you think it's not through a chazakah? Meaning of locking the door, or making a door, or putting up a wall, that's how they acquire. But that's what the Mishnah said, that's how they're going to acquire. Meaning, how do you read the Mishnah? Mishnah sounds like, when did we say that this halach applies, that they don't have rights, is when they're being machzik. When he's giving a gift, or when brothers are dividing, then what? Then that's not going to work with chazakah, but that's the Mishnah saying that then the chazakah would work. So the Gemara explains, no, chasurim mechzer b'hachikitanya, there are words missing, and this is what the Mishnah is supposed to say. But when did we say this, that you need to have the halacha of 3 years? That's b'chazaka sh'yeshi maitaina. That's by a chazaka that there's a claim, there's a dispute, someone's contending your rights in this field. Which is what the halacha we always mention of a chazaka of 3 years, which you always say it's more of a simon than a sib, it's not the actual kinyan. It's more showing that really you're the owner because no one contested you over 3 years. Now, that's where you need to have 3 years, where, for example, if the seller says, I didn't sell. And the buyer says, no, I did buy it. So that's where we said that's where you need to have 3 years. And these individuals, they cannot establish such a chazakah of Gimel Shon, because by being there, it doesn't prove that it's really theirs. But what the Mishnah then is saying, that there's a different type of a chazakah. Yes, they're both chazakahs, but it's a different type of qualification of the chazakah. It's not as a simon, but rather as a siba. It's actually the kinyan itself. Av a chazakah she'ein matayna, but regarding a chazakah that doesn't have any contention. Rather, the owner of the land admits and tells the guy to take it, to go in nice matana, which that's what the Mishnah then goes to say. For example, if he's giving him a gift, of achan shechalku, brothers are wanting to divide the fields, or v'amachzik b'nichzak ger, if someone takes possession of the properties of a ger who died without any children, who has no relatives, within the chazakah that you're doing, you're establishing is that you're just going to go ahead and acquire it. Oh, that's where the Mishnah tells us that if Nal, if he makes a door or gud, or he makes a wall or parrots, or he just makes an opening of kolshu, even a small amount which is being done in front of witnesses that can verify that he did a kinyan, harizu chazaka, that would be a chazaka to acquire it. In other words, that neither one of the parties could back out anymore. Yes, that's what we're saying, that then chazaka would work. What we're saying is that they don't apply to chazaka means the chazaka of Gimel Shanim, of the chazaka of, which is just is showing us, it's more of a simon, it's symptomatic of the what would be the properties of an owner. But if the guy is agreeing, he's saying, no, I want you to take it, then of course, no matter who the person is, a woman or a husband or a wife or whatever it is, and you're telling him to go ahead and create it, which is the case of the brothers dividing, all these different cases, of course they're going to get it through chazaka, but it's a different type of chazaka. It's a kinyan chazaka, not the simon of chazaka, where of course then you could do it by just doing one small act. You don't need to have a period of 3 years to create a chazaka through the kinyan chazaka, which is one of the three ways of acquiring like karka, which is kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Chazaka is you do something that shows your ownership of the field by putting up a wall or the like, that would create a chazaka immediately.